las posadas,
a 9-day novena in preparation for Christmas. And that's 9 days, again, of rosaries and prayers and sermons and songs and kids dressed up like the Holy Family, searching for the place to have the baby Jesus. So you think about that, that's 18 days of novenas in December for the Mexican people, and anybody else, of course. Now, the Poles, they also have a 9-day novena in preparation for Christmas. The Filipino people have their 9 days in preparation, the novena, and they call that Singangabe. But what do we have in America? We got 25 shopping days before Christmas. And of course, these days, we're not even sure if we can legally use the word Christmas anymore. So happy holidays to all of you. Welcome to the new America. Actually, it's not that new. The original Americans have not liked Christmas for a long time. The Pilgrims, who we always kind of think of those cute little guys with the little hats and the turkeys, they were very sternly anti-Catholic and anti-traditional, and they were the first ones to outlaw Christmas all throughout New England. In fact, Christmas was outlawed officially until the beginning of the 20th century in New England. So they never liked Christmas to start with. So whatever we have going on these days, this Winter Wonderfest stuff, is just a continuation in a certain sense of the old days. The difference this time, though, is that the movers and the shakers of our culture no longer bother with the pretense of religion as an excuse to avoid the beauties of Christmas, or to ignore the real meaning of Christmas, which is the incarnation of the Son of God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. No, the ones who create the directions for this society just ignore Christmas in all of its supernatural dimensions just to see if there's some money to be made off of the wreckage of our old beliefs. Now, when I use the word culture, it is in some sense another word for the way we live our lives. Someone once said that culture is our souls writ large. What that means basically is whatever we see out there in the public square, in the marketplace, in the fashions, the politics, the literature, the art, the architecture, the drama, the cinema, the entertainment, the internet, whatever we see out there is somehow an outgrowth of whatever is in here, in our souls. But at the same time, whatever is going on out there in the culture is forming our souls. Therefore, if there's nothing godly in here, if there's nothing of value or beauty or faith in our souls, then there will be nothing godly or of faith or beauty out there in our culture. And conversely, the emptiness and the ugliness of this present modern culture reinforces any emptiness and ugliness within, and it makes it so much harder for any one person who finally is aware of these things to break out of the box, to break out of the culture, and think or do anything godly or beautiful or faithful. This is how we end up with a whole society absolutely consumed with the question of Black Friday. And then Winter Wonderfest, and happy holidays, and gift-giving orgies. We have allowed people who do not believe in anything, have no faith, no religion, to form and shape our culture. We've allowed them to tell us what's important, what we should be worried about, what we should be concerned with, and how we should give them our money. And they play us like a cheap fiddle. And they manipulate us at every turn. And before we know it, we're at the Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning buying some cheap piece of plastic junk from China to add to all the other cheap pieces of plastic junk from China we bought all the other years, so we can give it all away at the end of December to somebody else who has a mountain of cheap plastic junk from China, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with that. And the Walton boys get richer and richer, and the politicians get richer and richer, and the rest of us, all poorer, we walk away on December 26th more empty and more depressed than ever. How many times have we asked ourselves at the end of Christmas, what was that all about? But no one in this culture will tell us. They do not want to explain to us how it's better for them if nobody believes in Christ, if nobody believes in God, because they're very happy when we replace our devotions to Jesus and our loyalty to the church with devotion to shopping. This is the almost irresistible juggernaut of atheism and consumerism. Atheism, you don't believe in God, that sets the stage. Now, all it needs to be is what they call a practical atheism. Practical atheism is where we live and move and have our being and do everything as if there were no God. We may believe in God, but we do nothing and think nothing and do nothing in the laws or public sphere as if there were a God. We do everything as if there were no God. And therefore, that way they figure everything is all fair. No religion has the upper hand. And no religion, particularly the Catholic religion, should ever make an attempt to influence laws or customs or our way of life. But even the atheists realize that their atheism, because it's about no God, creates an emptiness in our lives. It creates a void in our hearts and souls. Because everyone eventually has to ask themselves, if they're thinking at all, is there no God to whom we refer our lives, under whom we order our lives? Is there nothing more to this life on earth than our physical and emotional needs? Now that's where consumerism comes in, though, because that's the force par excellence that will tell us if we have an emptiness, well, there's a way to fill that emptiness with things, with stuff, with pleasures of every sort. And if we consume more of their goods, buy more of their stuff, well, then we'll be satisfied and it won't seem so empty anymore. Now, who are these consumerists? These are the industrialists and the merchants and the financiers and the bankers who tell us, well, they have all the things that we'll ever need. Don't worry. You don't need God. You don't need the church or religion. You'll need to buy and sell and consume and be consumed. But eventually, after a little bit of time, we begin to realize that these things, their plastics and electronics, do not really fulfill, but only create the desire for more things. How many times have we bought something, and we hear 6 months later there's a better one, now we want the better one, and 6 months later there's another better one? We're never, ever will be satisfied. But they're ready to sell us the better one, the more. Well, that will fulfill you, that'll satisfy you, but of course it won't. It's part of what I think is kind of like a suicidal cycle of never-ending and ever-increasing need for more things. And we know that it'll never satisfy our deepest longings for God and for eternal life. You see, our God is a God of life, and consumerism and atheism are about death. When a culture has so abandoned religion and its belief in God and in the reality of the supernatural and even in heaven and hell, when a culture revolves completely around material and bodily pleasures, it does not take too long before people begin to realize that they have no reason to exist. We're just anonymous avatars in a world where the value and the worth and the happiness of people is measured by the consumer index. We're taught by these consumerists and atheists that our lives are worth no more than the sum of our possessions. And what do you do when you realize that everything means nothing? But there's no reason, there's no rhyme, it's all accidents, atoms and cells crashing into one another in meaningless explosions. Well, you either close your eyes and ignore the gaping black void in front of you, and you keep buying more things to sort of pretend that it's not there, and that the nothingness hasn't really come for you, or you cast yourself off from this culture and begin searching for God and for true life. And that's what we got to do this Christmas. That is how we defend ourselves from consumerism, the consumerism that will consume us all. That's how we inoculate ourselves against the atheism and poisons of Black Friday and endless shopping days and pointless celebrations. As they used to say, we say it this year, we keep Christ in Christmas. We do it by praying. Pray every day. Pray as a family, even if it's just as simple as a sign of the cross or a Hail Mary. Pray as a family. Say grace before meals. Make sure that everyone is there at mealtime. And if sports or practice or some activity interferes with family mealtime or family prayer time, then get rid of the sports or the activity. That's how important it is. Nothing is more important than eating and praying and talking together as a family. Start saying bedtime prayers together. Make sure we're going to Mass on Sunday and we can light little Advent candles at home. Why not? And every Catholic family should have a little nativity scene at home. And every Catholic family should ask their prayers that God be alive in their homes and in their hearts. And you will know, you'll be assured, that things are getting better, at least in your own family, when you ask the question, what do you want for Christmas? And you hear, all I want is your love. Wouldn't that be nice? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.